Hello and welcome. You have just stumbled upon the Newport Storytellers podcast, episode one of a series of six. And we are your hosts, Jackie Caron and
Matt MacArthur. This podcast is an assemblage, a sound collage, an audio patchwork of stories told, and music harvested from archival and new recordings created by the people of Newport, their friends and members of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. A listening adventure made possible with the support of Hobsons Bay City Council through its quick response grants.
So, Matt, as this is our first episode, we'd better explain the purpose and plan of this grand podcast and what our listeners can expect.
Well, as you've already alluded, Newport fosters a thriving community of musicians and storytellers. And for several years, the tellers have gathered in the community hub on the third Friday of the month to practice the art of the raconteur, the reciter of verse, the folk and fairy tale, or, as we sometimes say, the said, not read, or the spoken word.
And we've learned how ephemeral the art of oral storytelling can be. So over the years, we've recorded many of the storytellers, and it seemed like a good idea to release some of the stories into the universe, especially in the light of our lives and the lives of everyone around the world being so deeply affected by COVID-19. Matt, who doesn't love a story and a song? So, the plan, Matt. Tell them the plan.
The plan. We have an excellent plan. As already stated, we have six episodes. In every episode, you'll hear two stories, and between the stories, we'll invite our musical director and regular presenter, Alan Davies, to showcase either a band or individual from the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. They may play an original work or something from the folk tradition.
And we will share with you a little kernel of something about Newport in a segment we call Newport in a Nutshell. And the lullaby. Mustn't forget the lullaby. We have a lullaby for the close of every episode for no other reason than they're fascinating, heart-filling and beautiful. And of course, we'll surprise our listeners and ourselves with the random delights we unearth in our audio treasure trove. Now, Matt, can you tell us, do our episodes have a theme?
Yeah, of course. Well, no. Maybe. Yeah, nah. Episodes are assembled by intuition and any theme is purely accidental.
Excellent. So glad that's been cleared up. So, Newport. We shouldn't assume everyone knows where Newport is or indeed anything about this suburb built on basalt and nestled by fresh and salt water. So let's begin with a little background to orientate our listeners.
Top idea. Here it is, our first Newport in a Nutshell.
Newport is a suburb in the city of Hobsons Bay, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, located on the west side of the Yarra River or Birrarung, the River of Mists. The Birrarung flows through Melbourne and into a body of water known as Nairn, or Port Phillip Bay. Newport is on the traditional country of the Yalakut Willem, a clan of the Bunwurrung, who have an unbroken connection to this land and waterways, reaching back through time. In our episode notes, we've included a link to the creation story for Nairn, the filling of the bay, as told by Auntie Caroline Briggs. We encourage you to have a read. The invasion of this part of Australia began with the arrival of the sealers in the early 1800s, and the landscape was quickly renamed. In 1862, the area we now call Newport was identified by the Europeans as Williamstown Junction. The name Newport came into use in 1881. Bluestone was quarried here, the construction material of choice in the 1850s, when Melbourne was a booming gold rush city, and with convict labour it was cheap and plentiful. Streets and buildings soon carpeted the places that were once grasslands, wetlands, and copses of she-oak. Newport quickly developed as an industrial suburb and was chosen as a location for the railway workshops and the power station. But today, Newport is a thriving community of many languages, precious green and marine spaces, the summer home of migratory birds who fly every year to our tidal zones from the Arctic tundra, and a place where the arts are valued and nurtured. We live in a wonderfully interesting place, Matt, and we're going to have a lot of fun adding to the story of Newport as we progress through this series. So, Matt, it's story time. Story number one, who and what have you chosen?
My pick for this inaugural episode is Dave Davies with The Play from The Songs of the Sentimental Bloke by C.J. Dennis. Seeing Dave Davies tell stories from the Speewa or reciting bush poetry, dressed in a vest held closed with ratty string and topped with a battered bush hat, it's easy to forget his varied work history, including time in industrial chemistry. Sitting down to a chat with him, you're more likely to hear tales about his time problem-solving the mysteries of chemical reactions in various industries than an account of ghostly bullock drivers, but the tales are no less riveting. Where my childhood was filled with the songs and stories of Banjo Paterson and Henry Lawson, I didn't hear about C.J. Dennis until I arrived in my 40s. Hearing the minutiae of Australian working-class life, recounted with the language and cadence of its time, opened my eyes to a tranche of Australian literature I remained ignorant of for no good reason I can spot, and I might have paid more heed to my local literary heritage if my teachers gave me The Sentimental Bloke in place of The Man from Snowy River. I'm grateful to Dave for many joyous performances of his own and other people's tales, and for introducing me to my favourite Australian writer. Here's Dave, recorded at the Williamstown Literary Festival in 2017.
This is one of the poems from The Sentimental Bloke by C.J. Dennis, written in 1915, and it's called The Play, and it's where the sentimental bloke, Bill, takes his cliner, his girlfriend, Doreen, to see Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. "What's in a name?" she says. And then she sighs and clasps her little hands and rolls her eyes. "A rose," she says. "Be any other name, it smelled the same. Oh, wherefore art you Romeo, young sir? Chuck your old pot and change your moniker." Doreen and me, we've been to see a show. The swell $2 touch. Bon ton, you know. A chair apiece with velvet on the seat. A slap-up treat. The drama's writ by Shakespeare years ago about a barmy goat called Romeo. "Lady, beyond the moon, I swear," says he. Then he climbs up on the balcony, and there they smooge a treat with pretty words, like two lovebirds. I nudge Doreen. She whispers, "Ain't it grand?" Her eyes are shining, and I squeeze her hand. "What's in a name?" she says. "Spruce, I don't know. Billow is just as good as Romeo. She may be Julia or Juliet. He loves her yet. If she's the tart he wants, then she's his queen. Names never count. But I likes Doreen. A sweeter, dearer name I never heard. There's music hangs around that little word, Doreen." What was this I starts to say about the play? I'm off me beat. But when a bloke's in love, his thoughts fly her way like a omen dove. This Romeo, he's lurking with a crew, a dead tough crowd of crooks called Montague. His cliner's push, what's nicknamed Capulet, they has them set. Fair narcs they are, just like them back street cliques, except they fights with skewers instead of bricks. "What's in a name? What's in a string of words? They scraps in old Verona with their swords and never gives a bloke a stray dog's chance. And that's romance. But when they deals it out with bricks and boots in Little Lon, they're low-degraded brutes. What's just plain stoush with us right here today is valour, if you're far enough away. Someday, some writer bloke will do the trick with Ginger Mick of Spadger's Lane. He'll be a Romeo when he's been dead 500 years or so. Fair Juliet, she gives her boy the tip. Says she, don't sling that crowd of mine no lip. And if you run agin a Capulet, just do a get. He swears he's done with lashing. He'll chuck it clean. Same as I did when I first met Doreen. They smooch some more at that. Oh, strike me blue. It'd give me joes to sit and watch them too. He'd break away and try to say goodbye. And then she'd sigh, oh, Romeo, and get a stranglehold and hang around him like she feared he'd bolt. Gospel Cove about a secret wedding. And they plan it out. He spouts a bit about how he's bewitched. Then they get hitched. Now, here's the part that fair gives me the pip. She's his for keeps, and yet he lets her slip. Ah, but he makes me sick. A fair gazob. He's just a glassy on the soulful sob. He'll sigh and howl and spruik a lovesick vow. A silly cow. But when he's got her, spliced and on the straight, he cruels the pitch and tries to kid its fate. Ah, fate me foot. Instead of sloping soon as he was married off on his honeymoon, him and his cobber called Mick Curio, they have to go and mix it with that bunch of Capulets. They looks for trouble, and it's what they gets. Some tug named Tyball, cousin to the skirt, sprags him and makes a start to sling off dirt. Next minute there's a real old ding-dong go, half round or so. Mick Curio, he gets it in the neck. Ah, rats, he says, and passes in his check. Quite natural, Romeo gets wet as hell. It's me or you, he howls, and with a yell, plunks Tyball through the gizzard with his sword. How I encored. Put in the boot, I says. Put in the boot. Hush, says Doreen. Shame, says some silly coot. Now, Romeo, he don't know what to do. The cops get busy, like they always do, and nose around until he gets blue funk and does a bunk. They wants his tart to wed some other guy. Oh, strike, she says. I wish that I could buy. Now, this here Gospel Cove's a fair shrewd head. Says he, I'll dope you so they'll think you're dead. My tipsy was a cunning sort that knew a thing or two. She takes his knockout drops up in her room. They think she's snuffed and plant her in her tomb. Then things get mixed a bit and starts to whirl. Here's Romeo comes back and finds his girl tucked in her little coffin, cold and stiff. And in a jiff, he swallows Lysol, throws a fancy fit, head over turkey, and his soul has flit. And Juliet wakes up and sees him there, turns on the waterworks and tears her hair. Dear love, she says, I cannot live alone. And with a groan, she grabs his pocket knife and ends her cares. Hey, nuts a lollies, says a boy upstairs.
So, Matt, as promised in every episode of this podcast, we're going to feature a singer-songwriter, and today it's Michael Stewart. Michael is the founder of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. He started it as a monthly session around the kitchen table, and it's grown into a big club with hundreds of members. Here is Michael in conversation with Alan Davies.
I'm talking today to Michael Stewart about the song that he's written and recorded called She Had Children. And Michael, I believe this song is about your mum.
Yes, Alan, yes. My mother, she just died a couple of weeks ago, actually, at 98. She would have been 98 if she had been alive today. But the Stewart family were famous in Moorabbin because we had a lot of children, you know, and that was the line which I adapted. She had 13 children, 8 girls and 5, I can never quite remember, 5 boys, 8 and 5 was 13, I think. And then we had 2 foster brothers who lived with me for most of my life at home, and so there was 15, and mum and dad were 17, and so the whole thing of She Had Children was very much the signature. And then I wrote the song in 2014 for her 88th birthday. We had a family gathering, and that must have been a prompt, you know, I sort of, you know, get these ideas, I'll write a song. And there was a bit of time pressure, so I don't think I had that much time to write it, maybe 2 weeks or something. But my memory is that it came relatively quickly, you know, like about a couple of hours I'd written the song and maybe spent a bit of time refining it and then had to just learn how to sing it. And so it was very, when I first sang it, you know, it was a family gathering, there was, you know, 40, 50 people or so. And I was very emotional, you know, because the whole thing of the song was, you know, like full of me. But I bravely made it through to the end of it. And it's given me a lot of pleasure, I have to say. And the further down the track, it seems much more like my mother's story rather than my song. You know, I don't think, oh, wow, that's my song. I just feel like that's her, that's her story. And I happen to be the one who put it down into music and into verse.
You mentioned that she passed away a couple of weeks ago. Was it also a way of farewelling her?
Yeah, yes. Well, we did. I mean, she'd been unwell for, you know, quite a long time. And so it wasn't a sad time for her to die. It was very, you know, appropriate, if I can say that. And so we put that on the announcement, you know, the Facebooky things, and people put it in the email. And then we went up to Bright for her funeral, which was in the church. A very rainy day, and it had actually been snowing quite close to Bright. And then we decided to walk up to the cemetery, which was only a couple of hundred meters. And then we put she was in a wicker basket coffin. And so there was only the 20 of us standing around. And then my sister said, "Michael, will you sing the song?" And so I did, you know, sort of just standing around the gravesite with 22 people and unaccompanied. A couple of my sisters knew some of the words, so they joined me. And it was a lovely way to farewell her. You know, it was a very, it felt, you know, complete, you might say. You know, like I think the problem, you know, you go to somebody's funeral and, you know, there's a social aspect and there's a ceremonial aspect and there's an emotional aspect. And so the song was able to express that, the love for her. I mean, it was a love song to my mother. It was a love song to mum. And so we were able to express our love as she was being, you know, saying goodbye to her. So, yeah, it was quite a moment.
She was born long ago in the hills that we know, in a family that knew good and bad. Lost her mother so young, left her father so numb, but she brought something special away. She went to town for to learn of all the life that she did yearn. She met a man that his feelings declared. She took a chance on the night that the man he would be right, for a family of love to be raised. Cause she'd have children, she'd have children, she'd have children born out of love. Almost 20 years, all the faces they appeared as the children they all came in love. Margaret and Mary, Paul and Jerry, Elizabeth and Anne came along. Tim, Kath, Carrie, Josephine, John, and there came Madeline, and the one who is singing this song. We are the children, we are the children, we are the children born out of love. And for all of these days, we've been loved in many ways. We are the children, we're all born in love. We grew up and we had partners, not too long we'd all gone out the door. Children's children came along, soon so many in this song, and her love multiplied more and more. For she'd had children, she'd had children, she'd had children born out of love. And for many, many days, they'll be loved in many ways. All the children, they're all born in love. Now the sunset has come, we stand here as one. We celebrate the days of yore, but we can pass on this love like the peace from the dove. Guide our lives and our spirits evermore. For she had children, she had children, she had children born out of love. And through all of the years, through the joys and through the tears, she had children, they're all born in love. And through all of the years, through the joys and through the tears, she had children, they're all born in love.
That was Michael Stewart with his song, She Had Children. Michael mentioned that he made a slideshow to go with the song. You can see it on YouTube. Just search for She Had Children, or you'll find the links on our podcast page with the episode notes / extras. Thank you, Alan. We look forward to what you have in store for us in episode 2. Alan is the current vice president of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club and the leader of the Newport Community Choir. So please, please, please visit the club website at nffc.org.au to find all the details you need to participate in club activities.
Jackie, it's time for story number 2. What have you selected?
Well, I've chosen another story from the 2017 Williamstown Literary Festival, a perfect contrast, I think, to Dave's earlier story. This is Durga Devi Palanisamy, otherwise known as Dee. Dee comes from a background in speech and drama, and she moved to Australia from Singapore in 2016 with her husband and 3 children. And through the strong networks that connect storytellers around the world, she quickly found the Melbourne locals. Here she is with The Mouse Bride. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. So I'm here and I bring a story from a far, far, far away place. So once upon a time, just once upon a time, not twice upon a time, not thrice upon a time, just once upon a time, there was a family of mice and they lived far, far, far away in India. Now soon it was time for the little mouse daughter, Sundari, to get married. And as all mums and dads, they wanted the best thing for their little mouse daughter. So Father Mouse said, I want the best bridegroom. I want the mightiest. I want the strongest. And I am going to go and find the best man for my little mouse daughter. So they thought about it, and they thought about it, and they thought some more, and they said, who is big? Who is strong? And who is mighty? Who do you think they thought about?
A rat. Lion.
Could be another rat. Could be a lion. What else?
Elephant.
An elephant.
You've been here before.
They wanted someone bigger than a rat, stronger than a lion, and mightier than the elephant. So they decided the sun. The sun is big and strong and mighty, and he will be the best groom for our little daughter. And they set off on a journey. Now, I need a bit of your help for this journey. So if you get your hands, and you go, tap. Din, din, ta, din, din, ta, din, din, ta. You ready? Ta, din, din, ta, din, din, ta, din, din, ta. And so they set off on this really long, tedious journey to meet the sun. And when they got there, they said, sun, you are big, you are strong, and you are mighty. Will you marry our daughter? The sun said, I am big. And I am strong. I'm pretty mighty. I mean, I make things grow. But you know what? There is someone who's stronger than me. Now you see over there? Have a look over there. Right behind you. Those big white fluffy things. If he comes and blocks me, no one can see me. So he's bigger and stronger and mightier. The clouds! So the mice thought about it. So they set off on another journey. You ready? Tap, ding, ding, tap, ding, ding, tap, ding, ding. And they reached where they met the big, fluffy clouds. And they said, well, we've just been to see the
sun.
And he says that you're bigger and stronger and mightier than him. And the cloud says, oh, I am. I'm big. I'm quite strong. And I am mighty. I can block off his heat anytime. And he said, but you know what? I can't marry your daughter because there is someone bigger and stronger and mightier than me. Look over there. Behind you. You know who he was? Make a guess. Who is it? You are right. It was a great big win. And he lived really far away, so they had to go on a really long journey this time. Are you ready? You go, ta, ding, ding, ta, ding, ding, ta, ding, ding, ta, ta, ding, ding, ta, ding, ding, ta, ding, ding, ta. And finally, they reached where he lived, the great big wind. And they said, wind, we have been to see the
sun.
And we have been to see the
clouds.
And well, he said that you are big and strong and mighty, so will you please marry our little daughter? And he said, you know, I am big, I am strong, and boy, am I mighty, but there is someone who is stronger and mightier than me. Now, if you look over there, there's a great big statue. And I have been blowing at the statue for years. And he will not budge. So he's bigger and stronger. You need to go see him. And so the little mice family, they went on a downward journey. Ready? We go. And they reached the great big statue of Hanuman. Hanuman is the Hindu monkey god. And there he stood with his great big statue face. And the mice said, Hanumanji, we have been to see the
sun.
And we have been to see the
clouds.
And we've been to see the
wind.
And they all say that you are the biggest and the strongest and the mightiest one of all. Will you please marry our little daughter? And the great big statue looked down at them and it said, I am big, I am strong, and I am Hanuman. So I am really mighty. But I need you to do something for me. Look down my right foot. There's this little creature that has been digging a hole. And he's been digging a hole for a really, really long time. And if he keeps on digging this hole, in a while, which might be a week, it might be a month, it might be in years to come, but if he keeps on digging this hole, very soon, I'm going to start to rock. And very soon, I am going to fall down. So if you could please help me out, get him to stop first. One last time. And they found a tiny little door. They knocked on it. And do you know who opened the door? It was Mouse Ram. Mouse Ram with his beautiful fur coat, his swarth hair, and his big, beautiful rat ears. And he opened the door, and Sundari looked at him. And it was love at first sight. And they've decided that, you know, Ram Mouse was big, and he was strong, and he was mighty, and he was good enough to be Sundari's mouse husband. And they lived happily ever after. Thank you.
How beautiful was that? I just love that Dee has introduced us to so many folk tales and myths from countries in Southeast Asia. If you're interested in connecting with the storytellers just to the north of us, there is an alliance, the Federation of Asian Storytellers, aka FEAST, and FEAST host regular free online story swaps and when the world is not in lockdown, a yearly conference. The first was in Singapore, followed by India. And there was one planned for Indonesia, but that, of course, has been on hold because of COVID-19. Well worth checking in on FEAST. Oodles of fun to be had. But before we move on, I'd just like to mention Dee and her saris. Dee is well known for her superb collection of saris, which she carefully selects for special occasions. And for the Williamstown Literary Festival, she was radiant in brilliant yellow. Thank you, Dee. You bring colour and joy into our lives. So Matt, we're almost at the end of episode one of the Newport Storytellers podcast, but before we sign off, we have one more song. I am drawn to stories and songs that have come to us through the oral tradition, and words and tunes that time travel in this way can become separated from their original meanings. One tradition that draws me is the lullaby. Now, at the time of writing this, the world had just witnessed the horror of George Floyd being murdered on a street in Minnesota in the US. His death ignited marches across the globe within the movement known as Black Lives Matter. So in recognition of these events, I've chosen All the Pretty Little Horses, also known as Hushabye. It's commonly believed that this lullaby was sung by a black slave woman who was tasked with nursing her master's child while her own lay unattended. And like all songs passed by word of mouth, there are many versions. Our singer is Dharma Picking.
Hushabye, don't you cry. Go to sleepy little baby. When you wake, you shall have all the pretty little horses, blacks and bays, dapples and grays, all the pretty little horses. Way down yonder in the meadow, poor little lammie. Bees and the butterflies bitten on his eyes. Poor little thing is crying, mammy. Hushabye, don't you cry. Go to sleepy little baby. Go to sleep, don't you cry. Rest your head upon the clover. And in your dreams you shall ride, whilst your mommy's watching over. Hush a bye, don't you cry. Go to sleepy little baby. When you wake, you shall hear all the pretty little horses.
Thank you, Dharma. If you're interested in learning more about this lullaby, we've posted a link on the episode notes to a conversation with Big Bill Brunsey, Pete Seeger and Studs Terkel, and I highly recommend. We thank our musical advisor, Alan Davies, for tracking this one for us. And of course, this link is on the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club website. When we're not in lockdown, Dharma can be found hosting story times for the very young at JP Books, 355 Somerville Road in Yarraville, twice, sometimes three times a week. Visit jpbooks.com.au for details.
So this brings us to the end of episode one of the Newport Storytellers podcast. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to sharing more stories and music next episode. It's goodbye from me, Matt MacArthur.
And me, Jackie Caron.
Jackie and I acknowledge that the recording and editing for this podcast has taken place on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their unbroken connection to country that has long been mapped by story, song and dance, and we pay our respects to elders, past, present and emerging, and to the elders of all nations and to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders who have listened to this podcast. We thank the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club, under whose auspices we bloom, Hobson's Bay Library and the Williamstown Literary Festival, who have made space for our voices, and all the storytellers and musicians who have given their permission for us to share their work.
The storytellers Dave Davies and Durgar Devi Palanisamy were recorded by Alex Carnham, and Dharma Picking recorded herself. For more information on the music making and storytelling in Newport, visit the Fiddle and Folk Club website, I'll say it again, nffc.org.au, where there are more groups and activities than you can poke a stick at.
This episode of the Newport Storytellers podcast was recorded while observing strict rules of social distancing with me in Altona and Jackie in Newport, and has been edited by me, Matt MacArthur. We thank Cameron Sharp for our graphic, and for our theme, Road to Lewisburg, we thank Bruce Williams. All the people in this podcast have contributed to story and music events produced in Newport and the city of Hobsons Bay under the banners of Storytelling Australia Victoria and the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. Not all the storytellers live in the local area. Several travel from distant suburbs and even nearby regional towns to join us. If you've enjoyed listening, please spread the word. Look for us on the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club website, nffc.org.au. Stories and music are for sharing.
Okay, Matt, that's episode one in the bag. Do you think we said the nfc.org.au enough times? I think
yes.
We did. Yes, I think we did. Okay. So moving on now to episode two.